Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we might need some different music here as we start the show, or different sound effects. Panic mode, Cardinal Nation, ladies and gentlemen. I am worried. I would hope that this team... You know, I rely on Tom Ackerman for positivity, not only for taking over the first hour of my show. He is positive about the Cardinals, and they are resilient, you know, we know that, and they usually rebound from terrible performance. Okay, that's enough of the panic alarm. That's going to drive me crazy. But, boy, that didn't look good. So I'm driving back from Columbia on Saturday, listening to the broadcast. I went up for homecoming, but only... the festivities, and then I took my daughter up to my friend Kevin's house, did a little fishing for bluegill and crappie, had a great time. But on the way back, I timed it so I could listen to the game. And there was a text string that was going on between Scott Jennings, one of our regular contributors, and you see him on CNN, my buddy Joe Arnold, who is down in Louisville, and I wasn't able to answer these texts when I was driving, but I could see that they were tossing in some of the stats that Ricky and John and Mike were, what was it, Dave? What did it end up being? Like one hit out of 56 batters or something like that? It was really, really bad. So, yeah, a little panic mode, but this thing isn't over. I just have a hard time believing that this is not going to come back to St. Louis for at least one game. I also have a hard time believing that the Cardinals are going to the World Series. I really do. And I think we all do. If we're being honest, I said last week, I think the rest is sort of gravy. We'd like some gravy, maybe with a little bit more flavor and some hits, and we'll see if we get that tonight with Jack Flaherty on the mound. So we have limited time to do a bunch of things here this afternoon. Paulo Asensio, mi hermano, is going to join me. He's the Cardinal Spanish language broadcaster with Benji Molina. I do want to talk to Paulo because he's a positive guy, too, so we'll get to that at 3:35. But let me get to the police shooting in Fort Worth, because I've said a few things about this on Twitter today. I'm getting hammered, of course, because I'm a racist. I want to start by saying this is absolutely outrageous what happened here. But I want to address some of the important issues surrounding it. And I don't think race has anything to do with this as being an important issue. But everyone is trying to make this about race. So you have Atiana Jefferson, 28 years old. It's 2:30 in the morning. Her 8-year-old nephew is in the room at the house, and they're playing video games. Now, let me just say this from the very get-go, because I think it's a question, maybe not relevant in the sense that there was an innocent person killed here, but I thought of it because we had the situation here in St. Louis with the drug dealer out in the middle of the night. I think it was 1:30, 8-year-old. I think it was an 8-year-old in that case that was shot because they were out with that person who wasn't even their father at 1:30 in the morning. So again, one of the questions that would come up to me is, hey, why is someone playing video games with an 8-year-old at 1:30 in the morning? Now, they say they lost track of time. I'm just going to tell you that that's on my mind. I know people will react horrifically to that because they have on Twitter. But you know what? I think that may be just at least one question here that maybe someone should bring up. And there's also other questions here. I think, was there a gun in the room? The police seemed to indicate that there was. But look, anybody could have a gun in their house for protection. So this person did not deserve to be shot and killed. There's no doubt about that. But let's talk about the reality of why the cop did it. Are there people out there, and I'm asking this seriously, do you think that this cop who's now been, well, I think he resigned. He was going to get fired anyway, but he resigned. Do you think that the guy went to this neighborhood, and what happened was is there was a welfare check. So the neighbors said, hey, things look a little fishy. Can you check this out? And he comes to the backyard. You see this all on the camera that he's wearing. And he's kind of skulking around. One of the things that happens with this officer is he doesn't really follow, well, maybe he does, but he doesn't follow the training that I think most people would expect because he never identifies himself as a police officer. And then when he does, he shoots very quickly. Now, the body camera video was released very fast, and he says, put your hands up, show me your hands. But then he fires at the same minute. because they did a freeze frame. I'm not saying this is why he did it, but they did a freeze frame on the video, and you can see a gun in the room, apparently. Now, that may not really matter here. This guy is going to be charged with, people want murder charges. Like, this is not first-degree murder. You can go in there to try to kill this woman. It was a terrible, terrible accident. Should it result in manslaughter charges? Sure. Probably. Will he go to prison? He might. Does he deserve to go to prison? Maybe. Should we maybe hear some more of the facts here? I think we should. So this is Lee Merritt, the attorney for the family, Atiyana Jefferson's family.
This department and their officers violated not only the rights of Tay Jefferson and her family, but they just made common sense mistakes. They passed an open door. They failed to announce themselves. They passed a second open door. They failed to announce themselves. They creeped around the back of the apartment and entered a closed gate. They didn't have probable cause at this point, from what the neighbor told them, to even enter that property. They began creeping around, and it created a deadly situation.
Okay, now that's probably bad police work. We're going to talk with Tim Fitch here in a few minutes over something else, and maybe he can comment on that. But these are weird situations for me as a white dude, because they're bringing race into it in the sense that it seems like he did it because he's a white cop and it's an unarmed black woman, right? Who cares what the race is? It's a terrible tragedy, and someone got killed in the middle of the night in their own home when they shouldn't have been shot. White, black, yellow, I don't care. That's terrible, but we have to focus on race now because that's what we do in this country. Everything comes back to race, right? Now, listen to this. I thought this was... Well, let's address the gun in the house issue. He says this.
The idea that they have blasted images of a firearm across the internet is obscene. Of course, a family owns a firearm. Of course, firearms are used to protect individuals from predators prowling about their property. That's only common sense.
That might be common sense, especially in this neighborhood, but still might be legitimate if there was a gun in the room. Again, maybe, I know we don't like to do this. We don't like to get facts. We don't like to do investigations.
In the last 6 months, they've had 10 officer-involved shootings, seven officer-involved deaths. That's more than most nations for a single city in Texas.
That caught my attention, and I'm trying to do a little recon on this, but I've been unable to do it, even called down to our sister station KRLD in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So just because there have been seven officer-involved deaths, in other words, seven people have died at the hands of police officers in Fort Worth, Texas, which sounds in and of itself problematic. But I've told you before that the Washington Post keeps a running tally, and I suppose I could cross-check that for the police shootings in this country, whether somebody died or whether they didn't. 98.7%, I'm making that up. It's probably 99% if you want to know the truth. It's certainly in the 90s. 90% of the time, we'll just go with that. These are not unarmed, innocent people. They are pointing guns. They are pointing weapons. They are doing something that would elicit a response of deadly force from a police officer. And let me go back to what I said a few minutes ago. You know what the issue is here? And I wish people would focus in on it. Because the issue is inexperienced cops. This guy was on the job for a little more than a year, we know right now. And every time we have something like this, even in the cop shooting in Holly Hills in that area with the Russian roulette, these are cops that have only been on the job for a couple of years. They're inexperienced. They're young. They apparently don't know what they're doing. That's problematic. That's a bit of a crisis for law enforcement. But we're not going to get to a discussion about that if we always focus on race, because this is race. It's an innocent black woman. How can we do this? It's police brutality. Here's the attorney, Lee Merritt, one more time.
Of course, this family is calling for the firing of this officer. That's benign. That's the least we should expect. They're calling for this officer to be vigorously prosecuted, to be appropriately sentenced. That prosecution, the investigation, should be handled by someone other than the Fort Worth Police Department. Specifically the Department of Justice, the FBI, or worst case scenario, the local sheriff's department. Anyone other than the city of Fort Worth, who is clearly incompetent to investigate itself, should be called in.
All right, that's fine too. I'm okay with that. But let's remember, the Justice Department came in the Mike Brown shooting, told us that it was a justifiable shooting, that there was no evidence that it was a bad shoot. There was no evidence of hands up, don't shoot. There was no evidence that he was shot in the back. There was evidence that he rushed Darren Wilson. There was evidence that he reached into the cop car. And the Justice Department came back with that report, and nobody paid attention to it. And to this very day, they ignore the facts in that case. So, I don't know. I suppose, and this is a terrible tragedy. It's awful. I can't imagine what the family's going through. Can't imagine what that nephew has to now go through, depending on his aunt. Just having fun. Even though I do think it's a little weird, he was up at 2:30 in the morning. But this is a situation that should concern everyone if police are inexperienced and they're not trained properly and they're going in and they're shooting. But let's be clear about what a motive might be here. And this is where we get to the real issue. Do you think that race motivated this guy to fire his weapon in any way, shape, or form? Or do you think he was about to shat his pants and he saw a gun and he fired his weapon? You think that might have something to do with it? Because his life flashed before his eyes? Now, he's not the victim here, and I get that, and I'm not trying to say he's the victim, but I think realistically, it's important every once in a while, and here in St. Louis, it's important to do this more than every once in a while, to take a look at the circumstances in which police officers are asked to go into situations. I don't know specifically about this neighborhood, but you even heard what the attorney said. Now, you did have one guy in Fort Worth. This is the most recent shooting. This was in June. And there was footage, I haven't seen this yet, I'm going to have to look it up, of officers who shot a man who ignored repeated orders to drop his handgun. So he was the fourth person that police had fired upon in 10 days. Now, when you see lines like that, that's from an Associated Press story. So you see a line like that in the story and you say, oh, that's terrible. Four people. Well, why were they shot? Why were they shot? You hear these stats about police shootings. I don't care how many police shot how many people. What I care is why did they shoot him? That's the legitimate question.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Oh, man, I got stuck without bumper music ready. That doesn't happen often, but because we were doing something different in the first hour. There we go. Man, I was so close to fooling people, thinking that they would know that I was prepared. Actually, you wouldn't have even noticed it if I wouldn't have brought it up. Anyway, we're off and running here. It feels like a Monday. It is a Monday. We have the panic alarm going off because of the Cardinals, and we'll talk with Polo Asensio, who'll try to calm us down. Spanish language broadcaster for the Redbirds with Benji Molina. Polo's coming up here in a few minutes. So here is a statement to the Loop Trolley Company board president, John Meyer. Actually, this is from him. John Meyer, Loop Trolley. The Loop Trolley, if you're not familiar, is that thing that takes up the entire area of downtown University City and makes it impossible for you to drive and get around typically, and has driven out multiple businesses. In case you're not sure when we refer to the Loop Trolley. The Loop Trolley is the brainchild of Joe Edwards, who is an amazing person, and I love Joe and what he's done for University City and the Tivoli and, you know, the Moonrise Hotel and the pageant. I've spent so much time at all these great locations. But the Loop Trolley is a gimmick, okay? It's a tourist attraction that we all have to pay for as taxpayers. So this was the letter that was sent. In September, the Loop Trolley Company requested $200,000 immediately from the St. Louis County Transit Fund to keep the trolley system operating for the remainder of 2019 and $500,000 for the calendar year 2020. The Loop Trolley Company will be forced to stop as soon as November 15th, if this does not happen. To make up for these budget shortfalls, we are beginning to reduce service starting next week. This decision was not made lightly. While the idea of the Loop Trolley was ambitious, has not been without its challenges, it's here. The cars are refurbished and the track is ready. St. Louis was one of five cities to win funding for a streetcar. The Loop Trolley has yet to operate at its full potential. Really? I hadn't noticed that. As we are still waiting on the rollout to our third car and operate 7 days a week, funding from St. Louis County was going to give us that chance. It allowed us to reach our full capacity and to put us on track to deliver the service and achieve the goals we originally planned for. So they need more money, bottom line, or this thing's going to go out of business. Shock of all shocks. St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch, former police chief. He's my county councilman. Chief, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How you doing?
So this is the same old stuff from the Loop Trolley, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing new here. They don't have the money to operate.
Right. You know, this is another example of, they think that if they continue to build it, people will come, you know, kind of like the $1 billion runway that we built at Lambert. If we build this, if you spend the $1 billion and tear up half of Bridgeton, we will be able to grow traffic at Lambert. Well, that hasn't happened. This is another example of using tax dollars. You know, it's not real money. If it's tax dollars, that's how a lot of people that spend tax dollars see it. And I think that Joe and I like Joe a lot. Joe's done some amazing things down there, but I don't think they thought this all the way through.
No, they didn't. Because here's the bottom line. They didn't do simple math. I'm not good at math at all. But if you look at the operating costs and how much you're collecting from fares, they went way overboard. So far, in 11 months of operating, $32,456 in fares. That's way below what they had estimated. So they know what their budget is. They know how much money they have. They know how much is coming in fares. And now they need more money, and they're going to continue to need more money. I mean, there's no illusion in my mind that this thing is going to all of a sudden turn around, right?
Right. And this, you said it exactly right. This is a tourist attraction. This isn't a mass transit project. I'm a little surprised, and maybe they have, and I don't know it. I'm surprised they haven't gone to the CBC, you know, Explore St. Louis, and said, can we have some of your money? Because this is a tourist attraction. I'm a little surprised they haven't done that.
Look, the Fed spent $34 million on this thing. So the federal taxpayers already funded this for $34 million. So then you have to, and I think even Sam Page said this, look, if this thing goes down, well, then you might not get money from the feds in the future. But what's going to happen here?
Well, if we're going to have a project like the Loop Trolley, we shouldn't get federal money for it in the future.
Oh, there's a good point.
I don't think the feds would look at any project we asked for in the future and say, well, you didn't handle the Loop Trolley right, so you're not going to get anything for whatever the next project might be. I think they would look at those individually and make those decisions individually. Yes, this was a bad decision. By the way, the federal government also agreed to give this amount of money. And by the way, there's been lots of cost overruns. This was supposed to cost about $43 million total, top to bottom, and they're well over $50 million in what it's cost so far.
Tim, they sold, this is stunning when you think about it, 1,422 tickets in the whole month of September. That's not even 1,500 tickets for $3,000.
Right. Yeah, we could have hired a limousine for each one of those passengers and paid a heck of a lot less.
Yes, exactly. So I guess let's cut to the chase here. What happens with this thing?
So we will get the official communication tomorrow night at the county council meeting at 6:30 from Sam Page, who said, we want you to consider this, and then we will receive and file it. I suspect none of the seven council members will ask for legislation to be drafted to actually appropriate the money. Any of the seven members could ask for that legislation to be drafted, and then they would have to be the sponsor of it, and then we would have to decide as a council whether or not we want to move forward with it, and they would need four votes to get it approved of seven.
Do you think there's willingness there?
Well, I could tell you I can't speak for everyone, but I could at least speak for the other two Republicans on the county council, and the three of us agree that, you know, that's throwing good money after bad.
But the Democrats could do it without you, right?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. If all four of them got together and said, and then Sam Page would have to sign it, of course, as the county executive, or veto it, or just let it become law.
I guess my question would be, let's say that you shoot him $200,000 and you give him $500,000. The thing's going to still fail.
Sure. And there's some discussion in circles, in the Loop Trolley circles, that this money isn't going to keep them afloat at all, that they're actually going to take the money and spend it on things that they've already purchased.
Well, can you monitor that? I mean, is there a way?
Once you write them a check and send it to them, it's theirs. By the way, if you go out to Indeed.com right now, they're advertising for a security director for the Loop Trolley at a salary of $65,000. I'm not sure, is that a temp job? I mean, does that last through the middle of November?
Wow.
I mean, who's going to take that? And by the way, why do they need a full-time director of security for the Loop Trolley?
That's a pretty good gig if you can get it, right?
Right, yeah.
Wow. All right, well, we'll see where that goes. Are you in a capacity where you can comment on what happened in Fort Worth with this latest police shooting or not?
I'll be honest with you. All I have seen is what's in the media.
Okay.
And you know how that could be.
No, I do. I just did a whole rant about how we should wait for some facts to come in. It's a horrible tragedy. Terrible, terrible thing.
It doesn't look good, but I always wait for the facts to come in, and I don't react to those initial stories because it'll be somewhat different. And by the way, if the officer did something improper, he should be charged with
crime. Well, he did. Let me get away from that, though, just the specifics of that case and talk about one thing that I think is important. We've seen this at work here in St. Louis, and you and I have talked about this, too. The one thing that's consistent with a lot of these is inexperience with these officers, Chief. And you got this guy who's basically a rookie. We've seen it time and time. How do you correct that in the future? That is a major, major law enforcement crisis.
Well, the crisis really starts with people not wanting to be police officers today.
Well, this is going to make it worse.
It started really, you know, in 2014 after Ferguson. And so we have to hire police officers. We have to bring people that want, thankfully, we have enough very decent new officers that want to come into the job for the right reason. Unfortunately, some standards have been lowered in many respects in many agencies, and they are hiring people that they never would have thought of hiring 10 years ago because they have to fill the ranks. And all I can tell you is you get what you pay for. And some segments of our society have said, we don't really like the police. We don't want them here. So you've got a lot of people who are like, why would I put myself and my family at risk by being a police officer?
Well, you know what they're saying after this interview? They're saying, why wouldn't I just go to the Loop Trolley and make $65,000 a year to be the head of security?
Right.
That might
right.
be a short-time gig, though. Former St. Louis County Police Chief and current council member Tim Fitch, always great to have you on. Keep us posted.
All right, Mark, we'll do.
The National League Championship Series, Game 3 today. And the only place you can hear Shannon, Rooney, and Horton bring you all the action is right here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, I hit this alarm earlier this afternoon. A little panic alarm here for the Cardinals. I'm hoping, because Tom Ackerman does this for me as well, I'm hoping Polo Asensio is going to walk me through this and try to be a little positive. Can you do that for me, Polo? Good afternoon. How are you?
No, I can't. Come on.
I know, right? It's a little frightening right now. I don't know what to do. You know, I was mentioning this earlier. I don't know what that number got to. One hit out of what, about 55 or 56 batters on Saturday afternoon?
You know, the number that gets me is the fan base in San Luis, right? Throughout the nation, we talk about the best fans in baseball. And this is the fourth year we've been doing games here with Benji Molina through La Tremenda 880, and you can listen to us on MLB at bat. By the way, the Nationals don't have Spanish broadcasts, so our broadcast is the only one you can listen to Spanish.
By the way, how is that possible with a big market like that? That is stunning.
Hey, take that, Rooney, Shannon, and Claiborne. But the only one in Spanish is this one right here.
There you go.
We're excited. We're happy. And you know, actually, there are our neighbors right here. I can see Mr. Shannon and Rooney and Claiborne is somewhere on the field. But, hey, how is that possible? I don't know, man. I mean, how is it possible that the Cardinals didn't have Spanish up until 2016? You know, a lot of the teams don't have it because there's not a person behind it, pushing it, looking, talking to do it. I'm glad somebody said something here with the Cardinals, and I'm glad we are doing it. And it's lovely. I mean, we love it. The fan base loves it. People in San Luis listens to it. People all around the world listen to it, and we cannot be happier, Benji Molina and I. But this is not about the Spanish broadcast right now. It's about the Cardinals. And I was talking about the fan base. Why were the fans not on their seats 5 minutes before the first pitch? Why were their seats empty throughout those two games? And I said it on the second game. I had a chance to be on the vision board with Team Fredbird. And I'm like, I hope everybody gets here early and starts pushing for this team. The Nationals are a very, very tough team, as we know now, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
They have great pitching. We have very good pitching, if not great pitching. And we have fought with them pitch by pitch. You know, I was watching the game yesterday between the Astros and the Yankees, and that is the same thing we're doing. The difference is we cannot hit their pitching. We couldn't hit the pitching in the first two games, but I do believe that now that we are out of St. Louis, the players had a second or two to reboot, to refresh, and tonight is going to be different. I know Steven Strasburg is really, really good. Strass is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and we have a priority pitching for us. It's going to be a duel, but I do believe our guys are going to hit the ball today. And when we go back on Saturday, hey, Cardinal Nation, listen to me. Escúchenme, por favor. Let's get there early. Let's get these guys pumped up early. If you think that makes no difference, believe me, this field here, this stadium, which is a very nice, beautiful stadium, it's going to be packed from the first pitch. Why is that? Because is it the fan base here? Are they hungrier because they have never been to the World Series and they want it and they're going to be here
from first pitch? Yeah.
Or what is it? What is it? You know, we need Cardinal Nation, La Nación Cardenal, to be there, show up early, and be there in full force. I know that there's still tickets available for Game 6 and 7. Obviously, people are thinking, you guys aren't even coming back. Well, for those thinking that we are not coming back, hopefully you get something to do on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when we're home, because we are going to be home and we're going to be playing at Busch Stadium. And for those that believe in us, believe in this team, hopefully you get your tickets. Hopefully you get them today, because this team is going nowhere. As in, it's going nowhere near a vacation.
Yeah. Well, look, I've admitted to you, I'm kind of
a
fearless.
We are in this for the long run.
I'm a negative guy, and that's why I have you on here. But I do have a difficult time. We talked about this during the Braves series. I have a hard time believing this team is done, because we've seen their resilience. We've seen that they've bounced back. But the fact that they're just not getting any hits in those first two games, it just was confounding to me.
It was great pitching. It was very, very good pitching from Aníbal Sánchez. People think, Aníbal Sánchez, who is that guy? Well, that's the guy who dominated the Dodgers, the mighty Dodgers, the 106 Ws, 106 wins Dodgers. He dominated them. So we knew that it was not going to be easy. One of the hardest things in sports is to hit a baseball. And I know the Nationals are hitting them, but if you see what they're doing, they're not hitting a lot. You know, Wainwright did a tremendous job. Michaelis did a tremendous job. We are, you know, pitch by pitch, pitch to pitch, we are with them. Again, they had a little break here, a little break there, and they are up 2-0. Last time I checked, this is a series to win 4.
Yeah, you know, the way I was trying to convince myself to look at it this way, because I think everybody goes for that split polo. You think, you know, as a fan, you're thinking, okay, we got to get that split. All right, you don't win the first game, you got to win the second game. But if you win the first game and you don't win the second game and then you lose the third game, you're still down 2-1 regardless. So if you win today, yeah, you're down 2-1, but you have a chance to climb back in. We just have to somehow, and I think we can do it with Strasburg. Last time out, I think he only went 5 innings against us. We got to get to that bullpen, don't we?
You know what? We've got to get to him first.
That's true.
We cannot think about the bullpen. You cannot think about second base when you're not even on first. You know, you cannot be thinking about buying a cake for your wedding when you don't even have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. We need to go step by step, and this team is going to go step by step. I believe tonight is the night that this team gets it together again, or regroups again, as they have done throughout the season. And this is the night that we see the Cardinals, the real Cardinals. You know, the Heckle and Hyde Cardinals, it's been fun for the season, but now they know their season now is one game. Because it's not, we need to win 4. No, no, no. We need to win 1, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And I heard this from a couple of players on the team. They said, hey, hopefully the Nationals don't let us go back home, because if we go back home, they're going to be in trouble. And I do believe we're going back home. One game tonight, tomorrow another one, then the next one on Wednesday, we fly home after the game, and, you know, anything can happen in the playoffs, as I was told a few times by people in the front office. Anything can happen in baseball. And again, Cardinal Nation, you know, you are proud. You are proud of this team. You are proud of yourself, calling yourself the best fans in baseball. When this team goes back, when we have our next game on Friday at home, be there early and make sure that everybody in the nation remembers or knows or basically refresh their memories that St. Louis has the best fans in all of baseball, and I believe that. And this is coming, and as you know, Mark, and I've said it here before, from somebody that worked with the L.A. Dodgers, who have a great fan base, saying somebody who grew up near San Diego with the Padres, who has seen that team up and down, and their fan base sticks with them. I've seen a lot of different fan bases, but believe me, I have not seen one like the Cardinals, even though the first two games of the series, they were not there from the beginning. They were not there from first pitch. But, again, if you are there first pitch on Friday, I will forgive you.
And make some noise. Yeah, you know, to your point, I was driving back. I listened to the game for the most part. I think I watched the last two innings, but I, for the most part, listened to it on the radio. And that crowd was never into it from the very beginning.
It's hard to get into it, and that's the other thing. It's hard to get into it when the players don't give you something to get into it. But pitching can help you get into it. And we have had great pitching from Michaelis and Wainwright. Don't wait for the players don't wait for the hitters, the offense, to help you get into it. Help them get into it because they hear you. And most importantly, they feel you. And you, hermano, enough with the negativity. For the next week, I need you to drink some of Polo's juice and be positive, my friend.
I'm going to do it. Here, you know what? I'm going to leave you with this because this will be a way to make it nice and positive with memories of a week ago. I played this as my audio cut of the day last Tuesday, Polo, because I loved it so much when this happened.
El regreso a Atlanta, el colombiano Terán viene con el lanzamiento. Batazo elevado, profundo, jardín izquierdo, Duval con la pelota, se va a quedar con ella. Ahí se queda, pisa Colton Wong, viene al plato, y señores, ¡llegaron los Cardenales!
Oh, yeah, I love you guys. You and Benji going crazy on that one. I played that a couple of times last week to get us fired up. I love the energy. You know that. That's why I have you on here. And I think you're right about a lot of this. I just hope that somehow, some way, and Mike Schultz has changed up this order with Jose Martinez tonight, they can get something going. Because, look, the bottom line for me and I think a lot of fans, Polo, and even though you're a broadcaster, this has been an amazing October. It's been a lot of fun to watch this happen. I think I said this to you when it looks like we were going to be eliminated in the Braves series. I'm not ready for the fun to end, and this team isn't either.
No. We're not. We're not going home without a fight. And like I said, the pitching, they've been fighting for us. Now it's time for the hitters to bring those swords out and destroy some of those baseballs, like if they play Fruit Ninja on their iPad. That's what's going to happen tonight. We're going to go Fruit Ninja on their Washington Nationals. We are going ninja, my brother. We are going ninja tonight. There you go. We're the San Luis Ninjas tonight.
I like it. Polo Asensio, Cardinal Spanish language broadcaster with Benji Molina. Always love to have you on, Polo. Have fun out there in the swamp. We'll see you this Friday night in St. Louis.
We will, my friend. And again, be there, be loud, be proud, because it is tiempo de volar. See you soon, hermano.
All right, take care. I think he's right about that. Look, the fans, and I don't really put much stock into this whole thing about last Monday with not being a sellout. It was an afternoon game, but I do think that there's a little incumbency on the fans to maybe do a little bit better. But let's face it, it's about hitting, and we can't do that right now.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the Day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store Pain Relief and Comfort. If any budget, I'm a little time crunch. We'll do a nice little snappy short one from Bernie Sanders on why he's more of a socialist than Elizabeth Sanders.
Elizabeth considers herself, if I got the quote correctly, to be a capitalist to her bones. I don't. And the reason I am not is because I will not tolerate for one second the kind of greed and corruption and income and wealth inequality and so much suffering that is going on in this country today, which is unnecessary.
I like the fact that Bernie is at least honest with the fact that he does not like successful people and wants to confiscate money from people who are. But guess what? So is Elizabeth Warren. She's lying. She's Liawatha. She's lying just as much about whether or not she's a capitalist to the bone that she got fired because she was pregnant. That is your audio cut of the day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.